We've talked about revive. We've talked about renew. Today we want to talk about restore. Our theme that we've been laboring on, though every lesson has not been particular with those thoughts in mind, but we've been laboring this year under that theme. Revive, renew, restore. In Psalms chapter 51, David said again, as I will reread verses 10 through 12. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Why would David pen such a psalm as this? It is evident that David had lost the joy of his salvation. And so he comes to God in prayer with a penitent heart, after recognizing and admitting his sin. And his sin was, of course, the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, and the sin that he committed in having her husband killed. Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted him about his sin. And he recognized that what Nathan was illustrating to him was exactly him. And so he said, "I have sinned." He talked about the sin in Psalms 32 when he talked about how his bones roared. His guilt was eating him up. But then he said, "I acknowledge my sins," and the Lord forgave him of it. And so now as he prays to God in this song, he says, "I want the joy that I once had." He realized that he needs God to work in his life and restore what he once had before this awful and terrible sin took place. You see, sin has a way of destroying our rightful relationship with God. It may be a sin of commission, a sin of omission, or it may just even be a sin of apathy. David's sin, of course, was one of commission. I ask us the question this morning, does salvation have its same appeal to us today as it did when we first obeyed the gospel? One may quickly say, yes, it does. But do our very lives show this in our faithfulness to God? If not, then our prayer surely must be the same prayer that David prayed. Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Again, the word restore means to bring back, to reinstate, or to return something to its former place or position. I said at the onset that David had lost the joy of God's presence in his life in granting him his blessings. Otherwise, he never would have cried out to God, "Restore it back to me." If he still had it, why ask for it back? So there may be the possibility then that our salvation, that is the salvation that the Lord has granted us through our obedience to the gospel of Christ, does not have the same appeal to us as we had when we first obeyed the Lord. Apathy may have set in. Sometimes we have a tendency to take things for granted. As I've said so many times, and as most of us perhaps have said so many times, God didn't owe us salvation. So we should never take salvation for granted. God could have let us leave this world not having the benefits of a Savior. But because He loved us, He cared for us. He wanted the best for His creation, that is, His human creation. And so even before He created man, He knew what man would do. I've said this before. Before man was man, He had already put in plan a plan to redeem man. That's a good God. That's a merciful God. That's a loving God. After all that He did for us, He still loves us when we don't love Him. So, in the first place then this morning, being saved or enjoying salvation ought to produce joy in our lives. Look at some in New Testament times that joy was expressed in their lives because of a relationship that they had or developed with Jesus Christ. You remember Zacchaeus? In Luke chapter 19, the Bible talks about this man who was short of stature. And he heard that Jesus was going to pass that way. And so the Bible says he ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And when Jesus came by, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And the Bible says this in verse number 6, I believe it is, of Luke chapter 19. He says, "And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him," how? "Joyfully." He received our Lord joyfully. That's even before Jesus pronounced that salvation had come to his house. But then as the conversation goes on, the Bible says this in verse number 9. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully, and Jesus pronounced that salvation had come to his house. In other words, a special relationship was now taking place between Zacchaeus and Jesus. And Zacchaeus was a joyful fellow because of that relationship. I said, being saved ought to produce joy in our lives. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls, the Bible says, received his word gladly. That indicates that there was some joy there. They had asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered that question, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Then in verse 41 again, it says, "Then they that gladly," you could easily insert the word, "they that joyfully received his word were baptized." They now also would enjoy a new relationship with Christ. And then the people of Samaria in Acts chapter 8. We would remember there that the Bible says that persecution arose on the church and all of the disciples were scattered abroad except the apostles who remained in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that as they went preaching the word. But then the Bible says this, as we continue to read and look in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5, the Bible says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. And the Bible says, and there was what? Great joy in that city. They heard Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and they saw the miracles, and the people were joyful. And as a result of that, the Bible says many of them were baptized. In verse number 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They had received this wonderful message of the salvation that could be found in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says again, there was great joy in that city. I'm talking about people in the Bible that express joy in their lives because of salvation. And I'm sure, again, we have expressed joy in our lives because of salvation. But again, if it happened to David, it could happen to us, because man is no different. We're all human beings. We're all subject to the same weaknesses and the same frailties in our lives. If David had lost the joy, you and I can lose the joy. I would say to us this morning, let's be a joyful people and let's try to remain joyful. And if we're honest with ourselves, look at ourselves, make a good introspection of ourselves, that is, look inwardly and see if we still have it like we used to have it, if I can put it that way. If we still enjoy being a Christian, and if we find that apathy has set in, if we find that laziness has set in, if we find that that no-care attitude has set in, we ought to be praying this morning, restore the joy of thy salvation. The Ethiopian eunuch, he was one who expressed joy in his life because of salvation. We know the story in Acts chapter 8, where this man was riding along in the chariot, reading from the book of Isaiah, which was scriptural text of the prophecy of Jesus. Didn't understand what he read, and so Philip explained to him what this prophecy was all about. The Bible says that he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the Bible says when they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? The Bible says they stopped the chariot and they both went down into the water and he baptized him. But then notice the attitude that exudes from the eunuch. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 38. And he commanded the chariot, as I've already said, to stand still, and they both went down into the water, and they were baptized. He baptized him. And the Bible says, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. I'm talking about joy that is produced because of salvation in one's life. All of us then ought to have that joy. But again, it just may be that some of that joy has left. And I'm saying again, as we are honest with ourselves, we may have to pray that prayer. Restore the joy of our salvation. You see, when we understand the effect of sin, salvation ought to bring not just joy, but they ought to bring the greatest joy in our lives. Because sin separates us from God. Nobody ought to, in their right mind, want to be separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 teaches us that sin separates us from God. And when you're separated from God, that means you don't have the spiritual blessings that God wants to grant you. God can't bless us the way he wants to bless us when we are separated from him. When we are separated from him, there's a great gulf between us and God. And those spiritual blessings, there's no bridge that'll bring those spiritual blessings to us as long as we're separated from God. And sin is the thing that will keep us separated from God. Therefore, when we realize sin is in our lives, we ought to be like David. We ought to acknowledge it so that God can forgive us. Because if we do not acknowledge it and repent of it, it's going to bring eternal death to us. Romans 6 and verse number 23 teaches us about that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the Bible says, is eternal life. Do you want death, eternal death, that is eternal separation from God? Or do you want eternal life with God? I know what you want. You want the same thing I want. We want eternal life with God. So when we understand then the effect of sin, salvation ought to bring the greatest joy in our lives. And not only that, but sin subjects us to the wrath of God. Nobody wants to come under the wrath of God. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. And I want to just want us to look at this from the Amplified version. The Amplified version, you may not have them, they may not be up there, but I want to share it from the Amplified version. He had just talked about not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more, in so much as you see the day approaching. But then he goes on and he talks about this awful effect that sin would have on one's life. He says, for if we go on willfully and deliberately sinning, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. That is, no further offering to anticipate, but a kind of awful and terrifying expectation of divine judgment and the fury of fire and burning wrath which will consume the adversaries, those who put themselves in opposition to God. You see, when we sin, we put ourselves in opposition to God. And then it goes on, the version goes on and says, anyone who has ignored and set aside the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much greater punishment do you think he will deserve who has rejected and trampled on the foot the Son of God and has considered unclean and common the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and has insulted the Spirit of grace who imparts the unmerited favor and blessing of God? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, retribution and deliverance of justice rest with me. I will repay the wrongdoer, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful and terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, incurring his judgment and wrath. Does that scare you? It scares me. It scares me. And I submit to us this morning as we talk, and many times we talk about the fear of God. The fear of God means, yes, it means reverential fear. It means great respect. But it also means dreadful and terrifying fear. Because God is that kind of God. When he ministers his judgment to those who stand in opposition to him. I don't want to fall under the wrath of God. That's the effect of unrepented sin in our lives. And nobody wants the wrath of God to fall upon them. You remember when you read in the book of Revelation, over in Revelation chapter 6, and it talks about at the end of time that the kings and the great men and the mighty men, that they're going to be running and crying out to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of him to come. And then the question is asked, who shall be able to stand under the wrath of God? Nobody will be able to stand when his great wrath is rained down upon them if they have not repented of their sins. So again, when we think about the effect of sin in our lives, realizing that we have been saved from our sins, it ought to just create the greatest joy in our lives. And we must be so careful not to lose that joy and become apathetic and think that God owes us that anyhow. But it could happen. It happened to David. David was a man. It could happen to me. I'm a man. So again, David cried out, "Restore unto me, O God, the joy of thy salvation." Well, when one is truly joyful of his or her salvation, then they will manifest that joy in their lifestyle and their action. If we are truly joyful of being saved, if we are truly joyful, and as we just come out of the season of Thanksgiving, so to speak, as the world sees it, of course, we know that that season runs 12 months a year for us who are children of God. But just taking that for a moment, if we are truly joyful, that means we are truly thankful that God has blessed us in that fashion to save us from our sin. So then, thankfulness will always be on our hearts for God's love toward us in granting us the spiritual blessing of salvation that we enjoy. Christ's blood has cleansed us from our sins. And not only has it cleansed us from our sin, but it keeps on cleansing us from our sins. Are you thankful for that? If you're thankful for that, I'm sure you ought to be joyful for it. But again, if we think that God owes us that, then we may not be so joyful that we've been saved from our sins. God doesn't owe us to it. So Christ's blood keep on cleansing us. Keep on making us pure, if you will. Because sin shackled us, and sin bound us. But because of Christ, the shackles of sin has been unloosed. Paul said it like this when he talked about his struggle in Romans chapter 7. You know how he talked about it there. He says that when I would do good, sin was always present with me. When I wanted to do right, I found myself, I'm paraphrasing what he says, I found myself doing wrong. Doesn't that happen to us many times? It happened to us. So then, again, sin shackles us, but thanks be to God, the shackles have been loosed because of Jesus Christ. So in Romans 7 and verse 25, Paul had this to say. He says there, "I thank God through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with a mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Which one do you truly want to serve? I want to serve God. Therefore, I need to keep my mind in an attitude of thankfulness. Keep my mind remembering what the Lord has done for me when he saved me. But if I somehow forget that or take that lightly, I'll slip right into the same category that David had slipped in. So I'll need to cry out to God again. restore to me the joy of thy salvation. So we are delivered. He had already said the verse prior to that, who shall deliver me? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And God is such a gracious God that God will abundantly pardon us of our sins. You know what the picture that I get from that is that he'll have forgiveness piled up on top of forgiveness. That's what that word abundantly means. God has a lot of forgiveness for us. Now, I'm not saying that, again, to entice us to run out here and sin, because we know God will abundantly pardon. I'm just telling us what the scripture says, that God wants us to know that he has a lot of forgiveness for us. And since he has a lot of forgiveness for us, then it ought to create that joy that we have been saved from our sins and God will cleanse us from our sins, that it ought to help us to be what God wants us to be. Listen to what Isaiah said to God's people in the long ago. In Isaiah 55 in verse number 7, he said, let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And he says, and let him do what? Return unto the Lord. That's repentance. Let him return unto the Lord. He says, and he will have what? Mercy. And let me pause here. You know the reason why God will forgive us? Is because of his mercy. That's why he will forgive us. Because of his mercy. So he said he will have mercy upon him. And he will do what? To our God. And he will abundantly pardon. Thank God for being a God who will abundantly pardon us. He'll take our sins, as the psalmist says in Psalm 103 and verse number 12, he'll take them and cast them as far away as the east is from the west. That's a good God. You know, we forgive somebody, but we have a hard time casting them away. God ain't like that. God will cast them as far away as the east is from the west. And in the book of Hebrews, he says, your sins will I remember no more. Thank God for being the one who will abundantly pardon us. We'll no longer condemn when our sins are forgiven. And because we are no longer condemned, and because we have this rightful relationship with God, then we can approach God confidently in prayer because of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4 and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession, the Bible says, or rather hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. And because of that, the writer says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to find what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'm talking about all of these wonderful things that we have because of our salvation. All of these things ought to create joy in our lives. And if, again, we start taking our salvation lightly, start thinking that God owes this to us, start not caring about our faithfulness to God, then we have lost the joy of our salvation. And when we pray to God, we have the assurance that he hears us. We have the benefits of God's providence, I should say. We have the benefits of God's provisions, and we have the benefit of God's protection upon us, because he's promised to be with us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is he saying? He is saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I know the Lord will provide me with anything, everything that I need. The Lord is our protector. Psalms 46 and verse number 1. Everything then we do ought to be motivated by the love of God for us. Because again, he didn't extend his love to us because of us. But he extended his love to us because of him. Bible says, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You see what characteristics are given there about people in their sins? Now, all of those may not fit us, but some of them may. But if that list don't fit us, you keep reading in the scripture, you'll find something that'll fit each and every one of us. My point is that all of us have a need for the mercy and forgiveness of God and the salvation that he provides for us. And so again, we don't need to take it lightly. Don't need to take it for granted. Because if we do, the joy is going to go. We need to say like David again, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. You see, as I began to close, rejoicing in our salvation should lead us to worship regularly. When I see people that don't worship regularly, I see some folks that have lost their joy of salvation. Because if you truly had joy for salvation, you'd be worshiping every occasion that you could. Because if you don't, you're not thankful and you're not joyful for it. So again, worshiping regularly is an indicator that one really have joy of their salvation. Joy of salvation leads one to be actively involved in the work of the church. When I see folks where you got to run them down and they don't ever have time to do anything for the Lord, I see some folks that their joy is gone. Because if we really appreciate it and were joyful of our salvation, we'd be running, trying to do whatever we could for the Lord. Because he has done so much for us. Rejoicing in our salvation leads one to erase selfish attitudes from their way of life. When I see people all wrapped up in themselves, that's all about me, I see some folks that have lost the joy of their salvation because they don't realize that Christ's attitude was not all about himself, but it was all about us. If he had been all about himself, he never would have left heaven and came to the sin-cursed earth. But because he was not all about himself, the Bible says he humbled himself and came to this world and took on himself the form of a servant. And so then, Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, notice this, that they which live should not henceforth live selfish lives. That's John's version. Should not live unto themselves, but what? Unto him which died for them and rose again. When folks keep on living for themselves, living selfish lives, again, I see folks that have lost the joy of their salvation. Because again, realizing the effect of sin in our lives and how much better off we are being saved from our sins, we ought to just spend our entire life reaching out and giving ourselves, being a servant to others, and not waiting to be served ourselves and wanted everything to go our way. If you truly have joy, these will be the attitudes, or some of the attitudes, I should say, that will be exhibited in our lives. Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Then pray with David that prayer. Again, he says, do what? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. And then he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, let us then, if we need to be restored to that joy, don't be ashamed. Be thankful that God has brought you to this point and been merciful to you to allow you to get to this point where you could be restored. Because if your joy is gone, and if he had taken you, you know what would happen? You won't see him and spend eternity in heaven. He wants us to be a joyful people. Yes, indeed. When the joy of salvation is in our lives, the last thing I want to mention, the last couple of things I want to mention, then we will strive to convert people to Christ. The next verse says in Psalms 51, verse 13, he says, then, you know, when you restore the joy of my salvation, and you uphold me by that free spirit, he said, then I will do what? I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. It may be, church, the reason why folks are not being converted is because they don't see the joy in the lives of Christians. You see, joy is somehow contagious. If we are joyful people, they want to know, why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy? You know, and when we tell them and share them the good news, then they say, well, maybe if I would obey the Lord, maybe I'll be that way too. So David says, when my joy is restored to me, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted. But no matter what we do, if joy is in our lives because of salvation, we're going to make sure that everything we do, it brings glory to God. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, that is serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in what? All things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors this morning, everything we do, God needs to be glorified in it. But if we've lost the joy, we're probably going to do some things that God won't be glorified in. But when that joy is there, we're going to strive to make sure that everything we do, God can be glorified in. And so this morning, my brothers and friends, if these things that I've just talked about, if they're lacking in us, then surely then, God need to be called upon to restore the joy of our salvation. What about you this morning? If you're not saved, since I've talked about all these things that one has because of salvation, does that somehow put you in the category of those people in Samaria? You notice what the Bible says again as we go back there very briefly. We won't look at the scripture, but, you know, if you go back there, Philip went down to Samaria and he did what? He preached Jesus down there. And he did miracles down there. And, of course, we can't do miracles today. Miracles have ceased. But in preaching Jesus, the Bible said that was great joy in that city. Now, you notice the joy was there before they were baptized. They saw the results of what Jesus could do for them, and that brought joy to their lives because they realized what an awful state that they were in. You see, they were already down there giving their obeisance, if you will, to a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer. They realized how much different this was than what they had been listening to and getting from Simon the sorcerer. And so it brought joy to their lives. And so as a result of their hearing what they heard, the Bible says that they were baptized. So my point is, what I've said this morning, talking about the effect of sin in our lives and the blessing that we have because what God has done for us in Christ, does that bring joy to your life if you're not in Christ? I would hope that it would. So much so until you want to become a child of God. What does one need to do then to become a child of God? The Bible says, hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Hear how God loved you, how Jesus loved you, how he died for you, how he went into the heart of the earth, was buried, got up on that Thursday morning. Believe in him as the Son of God. Repent then, turn away from your sins. And then confess him to be the Son of God. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to the church. And then you can even leave this place today, just like the Ethiopian eunuch left the presence of Philip. The Bible says he went on his way, what? Rejoicing, because he was saved.